We want to hear from you. Give us a call at 810-479-4394. That's 810-479-4394. Or via Skype at FYI Nation.
Now, It Sucks to Be Right presents a Tara Buster with comedian Tara Devlin from RepublicanDirtyTricks.com. Recorded live at FYNation.com and replayed on Progressive Voices.
Well, hello. Welcome to my Saturday night. Nice to have you with me. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Tara Devlin, and I'm here with my lovely executive producer Tom Reynolds.
Who pressed the wrong button.
The show could not go on without him.
Well, it probably could because I pressed the wrong button to start. But
that's what I thought. I was like, am I drunk again?
No, you're not drunk. I just made an oops. And but you can call. And this is a good pointer. If you are on Progressive Voices listening to this, leave a voicemail and maybe we'll play it on the air at the number that Boca Brittany had mentioned. If you are calling later, call later into the show, and we'll talk to you. And we want to talk to you. We haven't gotten a call yet. It's our fourth episode. Maybe we will. Tara, take it away.
You don't have to tell everybody that we didn't get a call yet.
Now you can yell
as
at
if
me.
We're a bunch of losers here. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
nobody wants to call. You don't have to call. I'll just keep talking, really.
Well, no, people could be afraid to call because they don't want to interrupt your flow. They don't want to interrupt your beautiful flow is what it is.
Right. They could just be afraid of me.
Not afraid of you anymore.
Is that what you're saying?
No. I'm afraid of interrupting your flow because that can be a very dangerous thing.
My flow. When you say flow, I think of
Irma.
That time of the month for some reason.
Yes, but not that flow, a different flow. The flow that makes everything go around.
Right, which is what you're listening to, the Tara Buster. Yay! And so what did I do today? I was very sleepy today, and I was watching The Last Kingdom, which is an amazing, great, awesome show from the BBC. I love anything that has to do with history. So I love to be transported back in time and to imagine people and to imagine their lives. They are no different than we are. And just the circumstances in which they lived and how we are really here for just a fleeting moment. And this is what I always think about. In fact, when I go, I know it sounds weird or whatever, maybe some people relate, I'll go places. I like to go to old cemeteries that have been around, you know, like really old. I remember going to Connecticut once, and there was this cemetery that was there since the early settlers. And I remember looking at this, one of the headstones. Of course, the headstones are really interesting because a lot of the old headstones will have a history on it. It'll say, this is Colonel so-and-so, he died at sea, or whatever. It'll just have a whole story. And next to this colonel, I remember there was the colonel's horse was buried, which I thought was really interesting. And in the same cemetery, in this early settlers, I can't say exactly what year, to tell you the truth. I want to say 1600s. I might be exaggerating. My memory might be a little bit playing a trick on me. But it was a really long time ago, before the country was established. I remember noting that to myself. And one of the tombstones said, here lies so-and-so. And it said, death is a debt to nature due. I have paid it, and so will you. And I just had chills standing there, thinking about this person who had lived her whole life, lived and died, and didn't even know about the things that our lives, that hundreds of years later, there would be this woman standing on her grave and still talking about it now. This was years ago. I went to this cemetery, and here we are on an internet, right, talking to people who could be reached all over the world. And this woman had absolutely no idea, and that was even possible. So when I think about what's possible in the future, you know, I get a little, like, sometimes I'm hopeful, sometimes I'm very pessimistic, because it's really true, the arc of history is long, but it bends towards justice, like Martin Luther King said. And I do know that we constantly progress as a species, right? So now we're in a time, but we do take some steps backwards. So we will go one step forward, two steps back, whatever. So now we're in a time where our representatives, the people in government, agree that we all agree, or so publicly at least, that democracy is the ideal form of government, right? The representative democracy. This is something so precious that we even export it at the barrel of a gun, right? Well, but the fact is, that's our representatives are giving us lip service to democracy, and I mean especially conservatives. Because conservatism on its face, conservatism, period, is an anti-democratic ideology. And everything from senators once being elected or appointed, right, to the Electoral College, that, and to what they're up to today, to undoing parts of the Voting Rights Act, these are all mechanisms that conservatives put in place to control people's access to government. And one of the things, so the thing that really gets me about conservatives, on top of everything else, is that they say that they love the Constitution. They are just so in love with it. They're so patriotic. They look at all their made in China American flag lapel pins. And how they chant USA, USA whenever somebody dare confront them with the truth or an inconvenient truth. But the fact is, conservatism is, they loathe democracy. They want people in their place. It is a hierarchical ideology. And one of the things that they have done to us, to this form of this grand experiment, is the deregulation of media. And I'm looking at you, DLC, Democratic Leadership Council, because yes, Republicans suck and conservatives suck, but they could not have done what they have done to this country without the enabling of the right-wing wing of the Democratic Party, which is the DLC. So, you know, they give lip service to democracy. They call themselves constitutionalists. Right, so much so that some of them even call themselves originalists. And this is the other thing about conservatives. They wrap all their baloney in all these highfalutin labels. Like they'll call, because they know they're full of crap, and they're really good at branding because they have to be. If everything you stand on is a lie, that you have to be good at advertising, of selling these empty calories. Because what they're really selling is everything that we fought a revolution, not we, but our founders supposedly fought a revolution to escape, which is basically intergenerational aristocracy. So, you know, any student of history will tell you that democracy for for generations, for thousands of years, was a dirty word. But, you know, now even conservatives have to pretend that they're all for it. But, you know, it's really about the elite seizing the mechanisms of power. And media consolidation is really part of the problem. And I think that we, as liberals, as progressives, as normal people, we talk a lot about things like the Voting Rights Act or just equality or equal protection under the law. But one of the things that we don't, I think, talk enough about is re-regulating the media. And because that's part of the problem. So Republicans call themselves constitutionalists. They have, one of the things that the founders knew was that a free press is vital to this thing that they were trying to set up. So if they are deliberately consolidating media and concentrating it into fewer and fewer hands, then they are basically committing an assault against the Constitution. Because as we know, it's not just, when I talk about conservatives at this point, it's not just Republicans, unfortunately. We're talking about the conservative wing of the Democratic Party as well. Because it was Clinton that signed the Telecommunications Act of 1996 and now here we are, and it's 20 years later, and we went from over 50 media companies owning the media, and to six, and they all they've relaxed the cross-platform ownership, so because that used to be illegal, you couldn't own a newspaper, and you could in the same area that you owned a television station or a radio station, which makes sense, you would think, because if we are truly a democracy, if this is really a free exchange of ideas or whatever, that you wouldn't want the rich to own all the outlets of. So that's why things like FYI Nation, Progressive Voices, are so important. They haven't, I guess, figured out how to put a handle on that yet, but I think they're working on it. And they've tried with the, what was that?
Well, net neutrality.
Net neutrality. And I mean, we're really holding on by a thread in that case. And because I'm not sure what this TPP is, there something in there that is sort of like an underhanded form of net neutrality that they're trying to inflict?
Well,
I'm not sure.
That would make it harder for independent stations to play music and would play clips. Like if I wanted to play something from CNN, right, on my show. Mm-hmm. And just said, okay, this is for fair use. It would take away that angle that we now have. So they are slowly, Tara, taking away the press freedom that we have to be able to provide you with commentary and news and things of that nature. Because don't get me wrong, CNN and other outlets do some good reporting, but you need to be able to commentary on the. Have commentary on that programming to show where they might be wrong. And if you take away the ability for me to show a clip, how can I do that other than reading the clip? And God forbid that might be next.
Right, and that's in the TPP because they have these sort of like their copyright things, their restrictions, and is that what you're talking about?
Yes, exactly.
So, yeah, and that's because believe me, they're working on it. Because we're not even a democracy anymore. This is what gets me insane. So we have this monster called Trump. And what gets me crazy is, of course, you know, that that whole thing with that Jimmy Fallon mussing up his hair, and isn't he, you know, the banality of evil? That's what I was thinking of when I saw that. Oh, to just normalize this authoritarian fascist. And that's the other thing, like the Republican Party, they're on some level, I have to thank Trump for really just exposing the Republican Party for what it is, that the sham that it is. That's what he's done. I hope, but the fact is, I don't really think that he's going to destroy it, because the media will just go about, if let's say hopefully Trump doesn't win. I mean, I am hoping for that outcome. But if so he doesn't win, what the media will do is just go on with the narrative like that was just some weird aberration, and there's nothing really truly fundamentally rotten about the Republican Party. They'll just play that, they'll just pretend. And they don't do investigative reporting anymore. There's no journalism anymore. What is journalism? It's been reduced to basically hackers going into people's emails. Is that what? And then you get this expose. Like, shouldn't the media, what happened with the DNC emails and how they were, you know, putting their thumbs on the scale for Hillary and didn't want Bernie or whatever. We all knew that. But that would, if we had a truly free press that was and following this and exposing this rather than just this ridiculous horse race, oh, he did this, but she does that, and, you know, as if it's balanced, and that we would have had journalists investigating that corruption inside the DNC. Instead, we have, or so they say, Russian hackers. This is the other thing that gets me about that, with the so-called Russian hackers. Who cares, Russian hackers? It doesn't mean that they didn't do it. So the Russians are influencing our election. This is the narrative. But nowhere in that excuse does it say whether what they were doing is right or wrong in the DNC. It's like, oh, we're just supposed to not pay any attention to what was going on because Russian hackers exposed it.
Tara, that was the narrative that was going on through the convention, remember? They were saying, Russian hackers, Russian hackers, Russian hackers. But that wasn't the message in the emails. The message was the corruption.
Exactly. So it's like Russian hackers. But the thing is, that's the other, what they were doing is the same old tactic that Republicans have done for generations, which is whip up this anti-Russian sentiment, and that's really out of their playbook, which is pretty concerning anyway. But if anything, that those DNC leaks showed us that just what a sham the whole thing is. So we have a media that is controlled by the same corporations that are, you know, making weapons, and that have a vested interest in just maintaining this sham. They don't really want a democracy. They don't want somebody like Bernie Sanders that talks about the fact that that corporations are too powerful, because they don't want to be broken up. The party, they're partying like it's 1999 over there, right?
Right.
So I just think that it gets overwhelming at times for me when because we're living in some kind of delusion that, okay, now we're going to go through the motions of an election and of a candidate, two candidates that are, okay, Hillary is, what is she? She's the status quo. She's not a change agent. She's positioning herself as one, but the moves that she makes is, you know, it's business as usual. And business as usual is not, it's not working out for the average working class person in this country.
Well, it turns out, Tara, it turns out to be bunk. It's not anything that can help anybody except in small amounts of pieces. And then on the other side, you have a monster. You have on some say the show I run, I call Donald Trump the Gollum, because he's
the Gollum?
A monster.
Like, yeah, what's Gollum again?
it's from Jewish religious history. It's a monster that you create out of something that you make yourself. We've created a Gollum.
Oh,
and
yeah,
his
yeah,
name
that's
is Donald
true.
Trump, you know, and it's like somebody on CNN the other said, they said, well, these two people are playing on two different election cycles. And all I can think of, you're letting them. Why are you letting them? If you weren't letting them and you were making them play on one field, this would be a fair fight. But it's never been a fair fight, and I'm not sure entirely that I'm going to buy the sexist argument, but I'm starting to.
What do you mean?
Like the fact that some of this, I think, is because Hillary's a woman. I'm not saying all of it, but
yeah.
I think...
I get it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, they go for the cheap shots, and there are people... Obviously, one of the things that truly concerns me about Trump is that he gives these disgusting, what Hillary called the basket of deplorables. She's absolutely right. And he's like all offended. Oh, she's not fit to run the country because she's denigrating Americans. No, not Americans. People who are, she pointed it out, the white supremacists, the homophobics, the xenophobics, the racists. Exactly. These are deplorable people, but that's his base. That's who.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Also the poor suckers who they, I mean, you gotta, you, everything that they stand for, you just scratch the surface. Even if they're masking it, they're racist. They are, and they're everything that she said. They're xenophobic. They're homophobic. They're even if it's, I don't even care if they're black, they're still racist. You know what I mean? Because I don't know. I mean,
self-hating.
A black Republican Trump supporter.
They're self-hating. Well, Tara, they're self-hating. It's like Tara, when I was a conservative, I was a bisexual man. I couldn't handle my bisexuality. I was self-hating, and I wanted to conform to what everybody I thought that everybody else wanted me to be. So I was self-hating. Now I'm not. I'm a democratic socialist. I have a girlfriend, and I'm happy with myself. So yay me.
Right. Well, it's true. I think I always say, Republicans talk about rugged individualism, but just try it, right? Just try it, and they got something for you. Because they're not individuals at all. They are conformists, and that's why you can throw a rock at any Republican convention and hit a self-loathing, fill-in-the-blank, gay guy or
Absolutely.
Woman or, people. And it's so true. I'm just so tired of Republicans. Like, they can only empathize with something or somebody or an issue if it affects them directly. So then you'll find somebody, one of these Republicans, his son will come out as gay, and then, now all of a sudden I'm for gay marriage or whatever, marriage equality. But before that, they're just, this is like they have absolutely no empathy. There's something fundamentally disturbed in them. That's why I truly believe that they're, and I mean, if only it was the fact that they're just they believe in a strong middle class, they just have different ideas how to get there. It's not the case. They want everybody in their place. White men at the top and straight white men at the top, and everybody in their place. And that's what they're these, it's the same thing with these evangelical, not, I don't even know what the word is. It's these conservative Christians that, like the Duggars or whatever. It's, they're all, they want, they, everybody has like their little role. And if, and of course, white men are at the top. And if everybody just plays along with that, within that paradigm, it'll be paradise, right? But the problem is people stepping out of line, and that's why Republicans are, you know, they want to control your personal lives, but they're not about freedom in any sense of the word. They're more, it's like, you know, it's like what Orwell, slavery is freedom, and they are the antithesis of freedom. These people who can say you're not able to form a legal marriage contract. You're talking about a legal thing, a legal contract with somebody that you choose of your own volition because they don't have the appropriate combination of genitals. That's how free you are, right? So, anyway, as we know, it is a verifiable fact that Fox News makes people stupider than people who watch no news at all. And I know we're heading for a break, so we will get into that. Tom?
Yep, we'll take a break and we'll get into Fox News making people stupider. I can't wait for this conversation. I really can't. I'm drooling at the bit.
Drooling at the bit. All right.
Drooling at the bit.
You're listening to FYI Nation. Original presentation content is for mature audiences. Feel free to tweet us at hashtag FYI Live or visit our chat at FYINation.com.
Sometimes people say I'm stupid.
All my attempts to repeal Obamacare, it's hard to keep track of it.
I use it so I can keep up.
To remember people's names.
Dumbacity helps give you an edge.
No matter why you want more than half a brain, Dumbacity can help.
There's all these little games and puzzles based on some kind of brain thingy science.
And they really help me keep me from eating my own...
Whether you're trying to shut down the government or hold another Benghazi hearing, Dumbacity has the tools that help you out. Based on the science of neocon Neuro Silly Putty, Dumbacity is a series of games and puzzles.
Potions on my asparagus.
Designed to try to get some sort of brain activity going.
With the world as complex as it is, and with me watching so much Fox News, listening to Sean Hannity, my basic motor skills are under siege.
Let's see if we can help. Go to Dumbacity.com today.
He's going to build a wall.
Meet Skeeter.
And make the Mexicans pay for it.
Who used to suffer from Obama derangement syndrome.
He's totally self-funded.
But thanks to
you what,
now suffers from Trump derangement syndrome.
He's going to keep all the Muslims out.
Although he has lost his irrational fear of Obama.
That guy was on a plane doing terrorist math.
He has supplanted it with
wall.
Irrational support of Trump.
He's going to keep all the Transformers out of the ladies' room.
And once again, you can help.
He is not racist.
By giving to the Trump derangement syndrome foundation.
He just can't help it that racists really like him a lot.
Simply log on and give what you can to our Go F*** Yourself campaign.
He's gonna make America great again.
Try to help Skeeter if you can.
I respect your opinion and I'm gonna beat the crap out of you.
America thanks you.
We want to hear from you. Give us a call at 810-479-4394. That's 810-479-4394. Or via Skype at FYI Nation.
We're back. This is Tara Devlin from RepublicanDirtyTricks.com. And Tom Reynolds is driving.
Driving. Hi.
Hopefully he's not driving us into a ditch.
No ditches allowed.
So like I was saying, Fox News, as we know, makes people stupid enough to vote Republican. And Fox News is basically GOP TV, which is something that Roger Ailes proposed to Nixon to win the hearts and minds, because he saw during the 60s, the 60s were, that was a, that that's a time, like we saw an economically vibrant working class unionization. We saw people able to go to college without coming out with hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. And but the Republicans, conservatives saw young people saying, hell no, we won't go to your war. That's chaos to them. They want people in their place. That's why they systematically dismantled the union movement and just unions in general, because unions set the floor. They set the standard. And the unions just make workers too uppity for Republican liking. They hate unions because they want you to be like a serf, sort of indebted to the Lord, and you know, just happy with the scraps that fall from the table, and your reward will come in heaven, right? So, but they did it with the help of this media deregulation. That's why I get really aggravated. I saw Hillary Clinton recently complaining about Fox News. And, of course, we've heard Barack Obama say things about Fox News. The other thing is, why does Fox News... I don't know if this is still the case. Maybe somebody can tell me. But when Helen Thomas died or whatever, first she was expelled from the White House press corps or whatever, they put her in the back of the room because she was asking too many actual questions. But Fox News is sitting in the prestigious front row center seat in the White House press corps. Why is that even happening? Is that still happening? Do you know anything about this, Tom?
As far as I know, yes, they are with ABC, NBC, and CBS.
But I mean, they, for some reason, they're sitting in that's like a prestigious spot. And so it's like we're all pretending that Fox News is a legitimate news organization. This Fox News that has the lowest budget for news gathering of any supposed news organization. They don't gather the news. They get press briefings. And repeating press briefings is not news. That's propaganda. And that's all they are. They are just a bunch of talking heads, just catapulting the propaganda, as Bush would say. So, you know, because in the days of Edward R. Murrow, if a station made its viewers stupider than people who don't watch any news at all, those people would be fired. That would be a disgrace. That would be all over the news in general. But it's not. It's just because making people stupid is their business model. That is the business model of Fox News. That is mission accomplished. That should be their slogan. Not fair and balanced. It should be mission accomplished. Look at what we have brought you. President Donald Trump. And it's all been like I always say, you don't have to be a psychic friend to predict the end of the story. All you got to do is look at what you're doing today. Everything is cause and effect. So media, everybody said, I remember the Telecommunications Act of 1996. I remember when this was going on. And because I was in college studying communications, and everybody said, this is a disaster. This is going, what does this mean for the bigger picture, for democracy? This is one of the nails in the coffin. But we don't talk about it. But why? Because the media is not going to talk about it, right? They're not going to talk about it. And because they're making a lot of money. They, to put their news divisions into the entertainment division to be for their news to be absorbed into entertainment just says it all. So we have this reality TV star now running for president. Of course, it's the natural end of the story. We're in a time where what is celebrities, people are famous just for being famous. They don't even do anything, like the Kardashians. What the hell is going on? And it's because money and greed are like the highest American value. So what does it mean to be an American now? I don't even know. Is it just that? I mean, I know from the perspective of people outside the country, they think, and I know this from Sherry, who lives in Switzerland, who does We Do It Sucks to Be Right, the other show I do, and I that she's traveled all over the world because she teaches theater or whatever, and she tells me what people say. People are always, first of all, they have a predisposition. They want to like Americans, but they just don't understand what the hell is wrong with us. That they're like, what is wrong? Especially when people are protesting against universal health care. Everybody all over the globe was like, what the hell is wrong with you? What's wrong with America? And it to me, it's just we're just stupid. We are to hear things like we have the greatest healthcare system. Only a dumbass would dig their heels in to protect a health non-system that is twice as expensive as the next most expensive system and consistently ranks dead last or next to last in all positive measures, but makes a few people very rich, and it leaves millions out. So you're paying more and getting less, and you're leaving a lot of people out. So only a bunch of idiots would want that system, right? But USA, so, USA.
So I have a chatter in the MixLR chat has posed an interesting question, and I'm going to paraphrase this, so sorry if I get some of this wrong. But the chatter is asking, can't you watch all the networks and then decide for yourself what's right and what's wrong and make up your own mind? Is that still a possibility, Tara, do you think?
I don't think so, because all the what networks are you talking about? That's what people say, I listen to the right-wingers, I listen to the... First of all, the closest that the progressives or whatever have, they supposedly... was MSNBC, and they're just as bad. Do you hear MSNBC talking about the TPP or anything like that would actually matters to people? What about the pipeline? What about there's a pipeline that just spilled, right? Just this happened. I don't have all the facts in front of me, but things like we don't hear anything. I remember I used to watch Al Jazeera news, and with it would just get me infuriated just for the comparison to sit there and watch something is like, this is what news is supposed to be. I watch the BBC World News and just watch that. And you see, oh my God, this is what news is supposed to be. But here in the United States, what are they, because what are you comparing? They're all saying the same things. I guarantee you go on any channel, it doesn't matter, ABC, NBC, MSNBC, Fox News. They're going to be talking about Trump. What are they going to be talking about? They're going to say, oh, Jimmy Fallon messed up Trump's hair. Hillary is down in the polls here. Trump is up in the poll. Oh, they're almost neck and neck. That's the story.
And as for your pipeline, I executive produced for you, Tara. Good. It was a pipeline spill that hit Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And the lead question in the thing is exactly the lead that I saw, by the way, on MSNBC. They asked this exact question. How high will gas prices go? That's the worry.
What?
Yes, that's the worry. The worry is not the environmental impact. The worry is how high will gas prices
go. Who asked this question?
The Alabama.com, AL.com. Pipeline spill hits gas prices in Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, and South Carolina. How high will they go? That is their lead in the story about the gas line. No, I'm not.
That's why I get very depressed.
I'm not kidding.
That's what makes me incredibly depressed, because that's the only value. That's the only consideration that we as Americans want to think about. How high will our gas prices go?
And never mind, by the way, that this leak dumped 6,000 barrels of gas in central Alabama. The average price, and then it goes into, the average price of gallon of gas went up by almost 10 cents overnight in Georgia, 8 cents in Tennessee, and 5 cents in South Carolina. And it's like, okay, so this is what happens when we use oil, a substance we shouldn't be using, and we're not using electricity, and we're not using renewable resources.
I mean, that's the other thing. We were talking about this last week. If we had a true representative democracy and a free press, we would, after the September 11th terrorist attacks, this is what we were discussing last week, it would have been go shopping. Or they hate us for our freedom.
Yes.
We would have had a real discussion about why did they hate us? Well, they hate us for our foreign policy. People don't even know our foreign policy. They don't know about that our helping topple democratically elected governments in Iran and all over the globe, for that matter. They don't know about that in the name of British Petroleum. That's why they hear go shopping, and that's not just they hear it. This is the message, because we're stupid, and it's by design. It's not that we're necessarily just stupider per se. It's because we're being deliberately misinformed.
And literally, Tara, I'm sorry to interrupt, but literally this whole article, just to prove your point, is all about what the governors are going to do about the gas prices, how they're going to keep the gas prices down. It's nothing about the environmental impact on what this will do to the animals, what this will do to nature, what this will do to housing costs, what this will do to any of that. Or climate change. Climate change is nowhere mentioned in this article. It's all about the gas prices. And that is why the media, as you're talking about, is broken.
Right. And why wouldn't they be talking about climate change in the midst of a crisis? And everything should be framed with that. The polar ice caps are melting faster than they. I just saw something. A piece of the polar ice cap as large as the British island, as large as England, just disintegrated, and this is unprecedented. So, but nothing to see here. Our gas prices might go up if we had true representative democracy, and let's say the September 11th attacks occurred under a true representative democracy, and that's debatable itself, but that we would have had a mobilization that said, you know what, we're going to get out of this oil business, this dying, archaic, filthy energy. We are going to escape it. And we're going to do it as a community, as a nation, and we're going to be free of that. And isn't that a wonderful thing? And something
Amen.
To all mobilize around, to rally around. And we do it as a patriotic duty. That would have been great. But it's not.
You're right.
It's sort of like Reagan taking the solar panels off the White House. It's like, okay, what's the message? Well, I'm in bed with big oil, and they're going to suck every ounce of life and out of this planet because it's making them a lot of money and everybody else can just go to hell, basically. I mean, what is the meaning of a government? And now, what do we do in this country? What is the purpose of government? Because it's not to represent the people, as we know, as the Princeton study has, it's not just me saying it, it's not just Tom saying it, that we are no longer a democracy. We are not a democracy. We are an oligarchy. When the wants and needs of the working class have a statistically insignificant effect on policy, it's not happening, people. So what do we do? We still have to go through the pantomime of an election coming up, and we have two flawed candidates. I know some people like Hillary. I don't want to go into her history, but I'm hoping for the best, frankly, because I cannot think about what would happen under a Trump, a person who doesn't even believe climate change exists. He thinks it's a plot by the Chinese. That should be a disqualifier automatically, right there. But we have a media that's been consolidated and making a lot of money. It's like what Les Moonves, the CBS guy, the head of CBS. It may be bad for America, but it's good for CBS because they're making a lot of money, right? And here we are in the United States now. 30 years ago, we were the most upwardly mobile with the slimmest income gap. Now it's the exact opposite. We are the least upwardly mobile. And the widest income gap, wider than in the Roman Empire, which I always say. And it's because that's stunning to me. And somebody who likes history, I really enjoy history because here we are. We are here for a blip in time. And I often think, what will future generations write about us? What will they say about us? They're not going to say, I guarantee you this, they are not going to say they hated them for their freedom. That's not what they're going to say. They're going to say that they hated us, with the perspective of time, they're going to know it was our foreign policy, what we did to create the cause and effect that turned the Middle East into an incubator for terrorists instead of, well, I don't know what the hell, they're trying to export democracy? How about they start importing it into the United States? Because
that would be nice.
We really need it. That's what I wonder too. When are they going to come in and save us from our tyrants, from the Koch brothers, from people who are buying our elections and when you have a representative democracy that doesn't take into account the people that they're representing, this is a sham, people. We're living in, it's sort of like, it reminds me, this, I think of, I listen to a lot of books on tape. I mean, this is what I do with my time when I'm not ranting on the radio. And one of my favorite topics is the Roman Empire and Rome in general. I just find it so fascinating to me because how did a civilization that was so adverse to monarchs and kings or whatever for 500 years turn into an empire, turn into one where that had kings? How they did it? It was a sham. We call them emperors, right? But the first Roman emperor, he was not an emperor. He took over all the mechanisms of power, but all the facade of the republic was still there. So he started to accumulate this power. People could still run to be senators, and they could still. But ultimately, he had all the power, and he wasn't called an emperor. He was called the Principus or whatever. It was the first citizen. And that's where we get actually the word prince comes from, that Principus. So the, I might be pronouncing it wrong, but the, and that's what fascinates, because that's what I think is going on here too. The other thing is this whole, because the Romans were told that they were exceptional too, that they were so exceptional. They were, you know, number one. We're number one. I mean, it's like us. We're number one. What are you talking about? We're exceptional. And how come every time, like a somebody who supposedly represents us, they always have to come on? Or I was listening to Tom Hartman yesterday, and he had somebody on, and one of the, I don't remember who it was, to tell you the truth. It was a representative, and he was saying, "We are the greatest country on earth." Don't get me, like, whatever he was saying, he was talking about his issue, but he had to preface everything he was saying that we are the greatest. Why? Can somebody tell me why we're the greatest? I want to know why. We're exceptional in a lot of ways that are more embarrassing than something that stirs pride. We have the most incarcerated people on the planet. We have the widest income disparity. We have the most billionaires. I know that. Is that what we're about now?
Number one.
We just make billionaires here.
Number one.
We have the most people who go bankrupt in the uniquely American medical bankruptcies, which is a disgusting two words to be put together. So I don't understand what's so exceptional. There's nothing wrong with looking outside and saying, I think this is a good idea, that's a good idea. I think that would be exceptional. What's exceptional is, I mean, one of the things that Rome did right was that they would absorb, they would take the best ideas from other cultures. And, they would make them their own. I think that's pretty good. That's exceptional. I think we should do that. Why would we want to have a healthcare system that produces the least positive outcomes? Why would you want that? Why would you think that's exceptional? We have the best healthcare system. I remember when the Supreme Court was debating Obamacare, I went down to the Radio Row with Mike Malloy, and while he was doing the show, I helped him, and I went outside, and there was a bunch of tea baggers outside. But let me tell you, there was a lot more normal people outside who wanted healthcare, who said, you know, healthcare is a human right. But this was in front of the Supreme Court. But then they had the handful of teabaggers. And guess who all the media were surrounding? They were all around the teabag, because that was the circus show, right? So, because, you know, some dumbass, they say the stupidest things. And I spoke to these people. You can go online, actually. You can probably find it on YouTube still. Some of these interviews I did. And they were nice people, I have to say. Because I was like, this is a nice person. She's like, oh, nobody is saying we don't want people to get health care. What are you saying, lady? I'm trying to, you know, have a conversation with this person and not just be offensive to her. But she's saying if somebody's sick, they should go. They go to the emergency room. But the thing is, they don't want to share. They don't want to share a country with people who aren't like themselves. That's what it's about. Because that's their real main problem. That they cannot handle the fact that we are a diverse nation, and they want everybody in their place. And that's why Trump is that's their guy. He's like giving them permission to come out of the closet, so to speak. And if you watch his rallies and you see they're pretty disturbing. It's sort of like he has pulled the covers off of everything that the Republican Party is, you know, wants to talk about the under the surface, and he's giving them permission to come out of the closet. But that's ultimately, it's really that's what it's about. And that's why if we had a media that was functioning in for the greater good, for we the people, we would be discussing these, we would be having these mature conversations. Like, how do we have a country of 320 million diverse people that are feel respected and heard, and instead of, oh, get over it, or oh well white lives matter too, and you know, I mean, these are the responses of emotionally stunted people, and you can't tell them anything because they have been so compartmentalized to mistrust the truth as a liberal plot, as a conspiracy. And what's the conspiracy? The conspiracy is that we want this thing to function. We want a democracy that functions as a democracy, that where people aren't, where you don't have to be a millionaire to, you know, to get heard. Where, I mean, right now, the House of Representatives, we have more millionaires than in the rest of our history. That's supposed to be the people's house. That's supposed to be the closest to the people. But there's I don't know what the exact percentage is, but it's over 50% are millionaires. Now, if we had a country of over 50% millionaires, I might be like, well, there you go. But it's not. We have a country that, where the working class has been systematically transformed into the more easily exploitable working poor. So I know we're getting close to the end here.
Very close, yes. About two minutes left. But this was a great conversation, Tara, because you hit on a lot of good points that are necessary. And I find it funny, one of the chatters in the chat room in the MixLR chat is pointing out, well, what if you said all this in North Korea? You couldn't be able to do it. Yeah, but we're not there.
Right. We have the vestiges. So that doesn't mean we're free. Just because you can go and buy a hot dog at a stadium doesn't mean you're free. We have the last vestiges of whatever this thing is. The fact is, they're trying to put the locks on this too. If they could, they would throttle whoever paid would get the higher bandwidth, and we'd be relegated to the back of the bus,
Thank you.
And just like FDR's New Deal, what's the remnants of it are still keeping people out of poverty, despite the fact that that they're chipping away at it. We still have these last vestiges. So we're we couldn't say this in North Korea. Yeah, right. You're right. We're not North Korea yet. We're trying to get it back. We're trying to get our country back. We want to make America great. We want it to work for everybody.
Yes.
And that's really the end of the show, I suppose.
So. Yes, we got a minute left. So, Tara, how can people find you and yell at you and send you email and tell you where to go to do it yourself?
Oh my God! Tell me to do. Well, you could go to Republican Dirty Tricks on Facebook right now. We have a very active community on Facebook, and I'll read all the messages. And also Twitter, Repub Dirty Trick is my handle that I use mostly. And we're revamping the RepublicanDirtyTricks.com website to be an actual news site. It should be launching pretty soon. And where people, if you want to write for it, you can always apply and write, and you know, we plan on paying people and making it a great
awesome.
Site. So
it sounds like fun, and I can't wait till episode number 5. I think we're time to get out of here.
All righty, thanks for listening. This is Tara Devlin.
Bye, everybody.